I just noticed that email you sent me about the guy that had questions about the Abraham thing. Did that come in yesterday or?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Let's go to Amos, chapter 5. Start with me. Chapter 5, verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. What does that mean?
You read that from your first Bible study, I don't care.
This is for guys like me that say, I want the end to come. I want it now. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. Or it's to those who want the rapture or those who want something to take place. This is interesting. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Now, there are 11 worldwide famines in the scriptures. And they happened during the days of every major patriarch. That's why it happened, because the patriarch was there. So the famine was over the whole world. And the last famine that is to be over the whole world is during the day of Messiah. Or days, if you happen to think in terms of, and this has always been true. This has always been known by the rabbis in the Talmud, and that's what this is about. That in the day or days of Messiah, it's only to the seed that it's a day of light and a day of joy and gladness and feasting in Jerusalem and all that. But to the world, it is something else. It's a famine. It's darkness and not light. But they call it light. Now here we go. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. Or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall. And a serpent bit him. Do you see the? Does anybody else enjoy this besides Harry and I? Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Now this was written in 760 BC. This is a long time ago. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. Now, what the heck is going on here? Does this confuse anybody? Everybody knew this was in the Bible. All right. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have you offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But you have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Chilion, your images, the star of your God, which you made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the Lord, the God of hosts. Now, verse 26, let me targum it, what it says. You have borne the tabernacle, or the temple, or the tent, of your king, and the cake to Ishtar of your images, the star of your gods, which you made for yourself. In other words, you are worshiping and walking and doing everything, but it's all to your God, which you made for yourself. That's why he hates your feast days. He hates your solemn assemblies. He hates your music. He hates your songs. Why? Because your real worship in you as the tabernacle is to the God that you've created in your mind. Can anybody understand this? Am I just...
Like, let us make God in our image.
Well, what do you do? Isn't that what you've done? Isn't that what we do? Don't we all make our God in our image?
You prescribe human traits to him and say, if I were God, I wouldn't do it that way.
Right, and we say, the most famous one that's said, it's just been said throughout the ages, is I cannot worship a God that is responsible for evil, or what I consider to be evil. Now, there's big examples of that, but let's talk about the little examples. For me, I could not worship a God who caused me to be in pain for all these years. The reason we're studying this morning, I got, I slept pretty good last night. I couldn't even do three of the exercise. I mean, I have no strength, no endurance. And so now I'm mad at God. That's why we're studying this. Because, again, the God that I made in my image, now that I had this breakthrough, I'm not writhing in pain 24 hours a day, I should be back to doing what I think I should be doing instead of... I shouldn't be on dialysis. God should have healed me. I shouldn't have this no, complete, nothing energy. God should have fixed me. I shouldn't have these people around me. God should have fixed them. In other words, you are celebrating the mystery of the kingdom of God while you are using this tabernacle, which belongs to God, to bear your image of the God that you've created. And the sacrifices and the worth that you give him are based on the eating of the whatever, that's what these cultic cakes are. It's what you eat to give, to what gives you sustenance and satisfaction. Harry's all happy if the door is on time and if all the money is in and if we and the subscribers are up, and then his life is good. What?
And you leave me alone.
And I leave him alone, and I don't pick on him in morning Bible study. But what is it? What is it that you're feeding off of from your cultic images? If certain people don't come around here, if you don't get felt phone calls from certain people, what is it that affects your peace? This is what this is talking about. I'm not just joking here. This is a biggie. You have borne the tabernacle And it's an interesting, there's a play on words here that you can't understand. The tabernacle is Sukkoth, and the word for abhorrence is Shikhus. So, I mean, it looks almost one vowel point away. It's the tabernacle of God, but we've turned it into the abhorrence to God because we continue to feed off the cakes or the food that we're serving to our cultic image of whatever we think God should be. And this goes down to the smallest things. It goes down to the things like if whatever sports team you're involved with wins, it makes you feel good. If your child does well, then you feel good. Well, what you're doing is you're eating off of that cult, the image or the cake that you've made to your Queen of Heaven. Anybody give me an example? Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Finally had less community service people come, or my back was only okay, or all kinds of things.
In other words, we've transferred the seed, the remnant, the mystery of God to a cultic value system. That's what this we just read is. And this is big. You come to Bible study every day of your life. Or if you happen to be listening, you could listen in every morning of your life. But if the service that's going on in your temple continues to be to the value systems of the society that you're in, or to whatever your family clan, or to, you know, whatever it is, then what you're doing is in vain. This is why he says, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. I hate, I despise your feast days. I despise your attendance in Bible study. I despise your songs. Because during the most of the day, you are walking in accordance with the internal value systems of the God of the temple, the God that you've created in the temple of God. And it's done with impunity. There's no repentance. If somebody exhorts you on it, you get furious. You understand what it is you eat? Even little things. Half the time I sort of ignore Harry just because I know that pisses him off.
Then half the time you don't ignore me, which also pisses
him off. But what the point of it is if your peace or happiness is dependent on my response to you, then you're a friggin' idiot. And you're walking around with the worshiping the God that you've created. He sat down. The one by whom all the world was created for, by which it consists, by which everything in the universe, every knee is bowing, every tongue is confessing, every leaf and piece of dirt and star and every other element in the universe is at worship in him. And what do? We'd rather worship our own little God that we've created. Instead of gaining sustenance and satisfaction from the body of Christ, which is our life, we get it from the God, something that we've created. Rather than getting our worth from His blood and Him alone, we get it from whether or not somebody says hi to you, or whether or not somebody looks at you askance, or whether or not somebody pulls in front of you when you're driving, and a million other things. And we excuse it because we say, everybody does that. Or if Gary were here, well, I've seen you do that. Let's turn over to Amos 8. Now, I want you to notice something. Let's go to verse 7 of Romans 8. Verse 7 of Amos 8. Verse 7 of Amos 8. That's what I'm... Why can't I say that?
You just need to slow down.
Shut up, Justin. I'm sorry I asked the question. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a food, and it shall be cast, as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. Huh? Kevin, wait a minute. We have to settle this. Do we have it unanimous that Kevin is fundamentally evil? He sits silently and looking nice and normal, and he just waits for the moment of opportunity. And then a zinger comes, and he destroys the whole Bible study, and there's no more understanding. Everybody's ha ha ha.
He's a dissembler.
And he's so proud of it.
And his son is a dissembler too.
I know. Like father. But this, wait a minute. Can I say, as by the food of Egypt? No, as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. Now, do you understand this is the crucifixion? This is what he says. This was the punishment for all this. And I will turn your feast into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head, almost every head. And I'll make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, where I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Does that kind of look like what's going on? This is what, long, long time ago, this is what prompted me to write one of those first crossfire spots. There's a famine in your land, but not of bread. It's the famine of hearing the true word of God. Yet you say, I am with you, but lo, I am not. For I have long since fled the staleness and hypocrisy of your ways, and like the wind I blew past your systems. For I will not be bound by the ways of the fallen creature, learn from this and become wise in the wisdom from above. Can we possibly see that it's finished? Can we possibly see that by one offering you have been perfected forever? Can we possibly see that you are exactly as you should be? And stay in that place? Can you possibly see that any moment that you see, that you, any situation, any now that you're in where you believe anything should be different, that you're crucifying the Son of God afresh? Or are you going to stay an eternal victim of the universe? And go pout. Things don't go your way. Pouting is just be anxiety. Don't you understand? Those are the offerings and eating of those culty cakes of the God that you have created. His sacrifice was infinite and eternal. It covered everything in the universe from one end of time unto the other. And I promise you, the seventh angel is about to stand and say, the mystery of God is completed. Time shall be no more. And all this to and fro that you're doing in your minds, worshiping the God that you have created and eating the culty cakes for your sustenance, you'll see the incredible evil of it. It says somewhere in Isaiah, now will I arise. Long time ago, after reading and studying and spending a whole lot of time reading Zephaniah, which to me is one of the most important books of the Bible, because it says you should conduct your life every nanosecond, as if it was the judgment seat at that point. You know what prompted that? You know what was the impetus for that for me? It was when I was held hostage and thought I was going to die in 3 seconds. I forgot it a couple times, but not very often. Our life must be lived as if every now is the judgment seat. And that's the fear of God. That's the only thing that'll keep you in Him. Otherwise, your mind has free rein. The evil one reigns, and you allow it. You know he is the evil one. You know he is this instead of Christ that has set himself up in this temple, you, the temple of God. And yet you let him reign. You let him have free rein over the temple. And you say, I can't help it. Tell that to the Father. I was up on the phone much of yesterday with one of the flock in another country, and it's this. The sacrifice wasn't enough for him. Situations need to change. No, they don't, you blithering sack of shit. It's, again, hear this. It's either by one offering you have been perfected forever, or you better get over to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple and find the ashes of the red heifer and find the perfect sacrifices and find the Ark of the Covenant, because you've got more work to do than you've ever dreamed of. It's either that or you've been perfected forever. And the sin is to allow the evil one, which is your mind, to continue to have reign in your temple. And you as the temple of God. And continue to excuse it.
The test is your reaction to hearing that it is Judgment Day. Because my mind wants to, if it knows it's Judgment Day, it wants to be able to defend the previous day. That I did my best yesterday. I did my best up until this moment. Versus, have mercy on me. I have no hope at all.
Amen. Anybody have any other response?
No, I'm taking away what Kevin said.
Take it away.
All righty, take a big guy.
I had to make up for my disassembly.